not going to interrupt anything. You got something you need to do that's of the Lord. That's of the Lord.
Yes.
You feel free to do it.
Praise the holy name.
I'm looking at Mark chapter 10. If God's a touching you, he'll do something. If you just want to talk, I wouldn't care to hear it. If it's God's in it, it'll be good.
Yes, it would.
Verse number 46. I'm glad I'm saved tonight.
Amen.
I've never been more glad than I am now that I know him and he knows me.
Yes.
And all of his promises.
Bless you, Lord.
Come into effect in my life one morning on the hillside. Every one of them. And they're still working tonight.
Yes.
And I'm here for his glory.
Yes.
And not for mine. I hope you'll be obedient to his voice.
Amen.
And I'm going to start reading, I guess, in verse number 46. And I know that's an old story, and I'm glad it is. Every chapter and verse in this book ought to be old to you.
Come on.
And to get new every morning. No doubt there's somebody in here tonight that's lost. And on the broad road, and I've been there. And I know what you're going through. If conviction's on you, you're a sad individual.
Yes, sir.
And you can get off that broad road when the Lord lets you off. You can't get off until he lets you off.
Amen.
And you got to want to get off more than anything else in the world.
Amen.
Or you'll never get off. Now, this mountain has effect on my voice, but I'm going to do the best I can.
Yes, Lord.
And in this Bible, in the New Testament, God deals so many times with individuals. God wants to bless a church as a corporate body. I mean, as a church, he wants to bless it. And he will. But he's a God that works with individuals.
Amen.
And that's his deal all through this book, this New Testament especially. He's working with individuals.
Yes, sir.
And I want to tell you that God wants to work through you.
Yes.
And no doubt here tonight, there's people that God wants for servants, men and women. I know there's some things that women can't do, but there's some things they can do.
Yes, sir.
And if we're not careful, we'll scare them off. But I want to tell you, every individual, God never saved anybody and said, you be good and I'll pick you up after a while. But he said, Lord, I'll be with you always. And he didn't just mean he'd be here to comfort you either. He means he's going to be where you are and he's going to deal with your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just preachers and deacons. It's every individual that's been born again.
Amen.
Now I want you to listen to the reading. Here's a sinner. He's in bad shape. I realize there's a lot of these places where we allegorize it. Nothing said in here, as far as I know, about his getting his soul saved. So many places that he don't say it, but God's telling it for a reason. And it's so like a sinner coming to God is why God put it in this book. And we ought to look at it and see how it affects us as individuals. Now, when you were a sinner, and if you, before you got saved, you wasn't really a sinner until you got lost.
Right.
And I guess God's got a taking care way that we don't understand. There's a lot of things about the nature of God I don't understand. But I know He's a God of forgiveness.
Amen.
Yes, He is.
And He saves old sinners.
Yes,
Lord. I never seen a strutter get saved.
Right.
I never seen a proud individual get born again. But everyone that I've seen get in the family of God got at the lowest state.
Yes, sir.
Before he got to the highest.
God.
Before he got taken up off of the broad road and put on the straight and narrow, God cut him down to his lowest estate.
Amen.
And put him in a begging shape. Amen.
Amen.
Well, maybe I'll get to read. Maybe I'll get to read after a while. I met him when he put me under conviction. And I didn't understand him. But he began to deal with my soul. And I guess it was the prayers of the church and individuals. I was in a modern church. But there's some folk in there that could pray. And he began to work with my heart. And I know Dad and Mama had something that I didn't have. I know there's a power beyond man that's getting food on our table. That's the only way it could have got on. And clothed my daddy working in the sawmill. And barely I'm making it, scratching it. But when they called on Daddy to pray, heaven moved. He could pray a hole in the sky. And I know he had something I didn't have. And I want somebody else to know that I've got something that you ain't got. And I want to so live and so do that you'll want what I got. I want you to get thirsty.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Really got me.
And they came to Jericho. Jesus went through Jericho twice. As far as I know, he's going through the first time now. The 19th chapter of Luke, he's going out. And he deals with this one man. And I thought earlier this morning, sometime this week, when God's a passing through here, he's going to deal with you. The Baptist of 2015 are the laziest bunch of people that I've ever seen. God asking them. And such a need, this dark, wicked, ungodly world and people going to hell. And God's people want as much as raise their hand as a witness.
Come on.
That God means something to them. And I won't hardly, it's hard for me to get my people even to come to an altar. Independent Baptist, I've been that, I don't call myself that anymore. We'll get worked up more of people giving up their cigarettes than they will a lost people, man, a hunting dog. I want to say to you tonight, if there's nothing else this revival does for you, get the spiritual laziness out of you and go to work for God.
Amen.
If I hire a man to work for me, he comes around with his hands in his pockets and won't do nothing. Everybody's got to show him when to move, what to do. He ain't going to be around long. If you want to work, you'll show it and find you a place. And so in the house of God, I don't know what the percentage here is of workers. I know what it is in my church. I've been there 30 years. And I don't think I got it up over 50% now. But I'm still working on it. And I want us to understand that if sinners get saved, the church has got to do something.
Amen.
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 People get saved through the church work.
Yes.
Came to Jericho with his disciples. And a great number of people. And blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. I want you to think about the begging business. Everybody that's approached God in here is in the begging shape.
Yes, sir.
And if you ever get saved, sinner, if you ever get saved, and I'm so wrapped up in this business of knowing you're saved, and telling that you must know that you're saved, and so enthused to see sinners get born again, that my work of trying to get God's people in a working shape is wrapped up. Yes, that I am. I'm sorry, but I ain't. I'm glad God saved me.
Yes, sir.
When he did, wrapped his arms around me and started me home with him. And I'm heading in that direction. But ever since the morning he saved me, I've had a burning desire to take somebody with me.
Yes, sir.
And if you're here tonight and lost, I ask the God that saved me to work on you.
Yeah.
And pull you towards an altar. I never seen a lost person yet that didn't know what to do when they're under conviction. I'm going to tell you, you don't have to go back and say, in order to get saved, you got to come and get on the altar and get on your knees. They get under conviction, they'll know what to do.
Yes,
and you don't have to convince nobody. Go to them and tell them they're lost. The Holy Ghost will take care of that.
Yeah, well.
In the Smoky Mountains, I guess it was in the 50s or 60s, there's three men got lost down there. Didn't know where they were and how to get out. And is in there 3 days without food. And people are looking for them. And one morning early, one of them hunters come over the hill right there. And there's a log down there, and they're sitting on that log. And they saw him. And they begin running toward him and saying, "We're the ones that's lost. We're lost. Show us the way out. We've been in here 3 days." I'm going to tell you, if you get right and under conviction, won't nobody have to drag you to the altar.
Amen.
Thank God you get lost like I got lost. Thank God you want to get out of the mess you're in. Now I want you to see what God's going to do with this blind man. That's what you were when he was lost. He's blind. Couldn't understand the word of God. You didn't have sense enough to take care of yourself. Is wandering around in this wicked world and going to hell as fast as you could. And you had all kinds of plans and never asked God what his plan was for you. And you was blind. But if you're saved, Jesus came back. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." Now when you find out Jesus is real, and that gets real to you, it'll move you.
Yes, sir.
I don't care if you're 10 years old. I'm not interested in no 4 and 5 years old coming to the altar. I don't think God deals with sin. How in the world are you going to tell a 3 or 4 year old they're wicked and going to hell? And I'm going to tell you, when God puts you under conviction, not just crying because mamas are crying, or because some bunch of singers are singing, but because God put conviction on you, you're in shape to get right. Now, I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad God gave me a bad throat. You say, "What's the matter with you?" I believe he does all things well.
Yeah.
And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he had no peace. That is his trouble. But he cried the more a great deal. I said he cried the more a great deal. "Thou son of David, have mercy on me."
That's the Lord.
I was under conviction. We had an old hog house down there. Hogs could get into. We had probably 2 acres of place for the hogs to graze. An old hog house. And I thought, if I get in there, God will have mercy on me and save me. I climbed up in that hog house and said, God, I'll do anything for you if you'll save me. But that wasn't the time. But I'm going to tell you, if you refuse to bow, if you're so high and holy that you won't bow to God, you'll never get born again.
Yeah.
You get in shape out of then, you'll do anything. And he cried the more a great deal. The more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still. Now, church, we have an obligation. Neither one of you can save anybody. There's not a preacher in here that can save anybody. This whole church working, praying together can't save anybody.
Amen.
It's not our job.
Amen.
But it's our job to set the atmosphere where the Holy Ghost can work on sinners.
Amen.
There ain't no sinner going to get saved, get under conviction at the ball game.
Yeah.
I want to tell you tonight, get them under old-time preaching. I'm not talking about poem reciting. I'm talking about old-time preaching.
Yes,
and I'll tell you that this world hates old-time preaching. The government hates old-time preaching. Amen. Now Hollywood hates old-time preaching. And they'll make fun of it all they can. They'll never let an old-time preacher preach on television. And they'll run them off of all the radio stations.
Yeah.
And that includes Alabama in a little while.
Yeah.
But God will make a way till the stars fall and the mountain turns to blood for this word of God to get out in power in the hearts of sinners and of Paul that man can do nothing about. Bless his name. I carried on a Brush Harbor meeting in the Mississippi. He's going to build a church. And they asked Percy Ray to come and show them where to build. He come over there and prayed and said, right up there on the hill. And so they built a tent and set everything up and called me down there to preach. And I went and preached. I was so cold I had to wear my top coat while I was preaching. They said on the video steam was coming off of me. And I thought, and the tent is full and the yard around and people down on the road going down had their cars parked each way and they're sitting on them cars. And I thought, Lord, here I am out here and nothing but a brush harbor. I don't know whether anybody's listening to me or not. I think in my heart they're just coming to see a brush harbor meeting. But since then, I don't know how many people have sat down yonder on them cars. They've got born again. You don't know what God's doing. I'll tell you, live for God. When it comes your turn, shout at the house of God.
Yes.
Testify, raise your hand, and glorify Him while we still got opportunity.
Amen.
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 Thank you.
You don't know when a sinner's listening.
Right.
That's looking for a way out of his trouble.
Amen.
How God himself, when he started out that morning, knew that this man was on his route. And before this revival ever started, they said, well, how in the world did I know that? God knowed about a young man and he wanted to work on this week and trouble him. I don't know what about. God know there's a young lady that's in the crossroads and don't know whether to go across or turn right or left. And God sent you in here for some reason. Listen to me now. And there's sinners sitting here tonight on the road to hell and waiting for somebody to come by and let them know that there's a path for them. Hear me tonight.
Hear him, Lord.
And I want to tell you, young man, and And young lady, and you that are lost, that you can get it fixed tonight if you want to bad enough. You don't have to wonder whether to go across the road or turn right or left. Thank God you can step right where you are if you need to. Stay at home like you ought to. Live for God.
Be a
precious young lady or young man that's counted from heaven to be a soldier and a servant.
Oh.
Thank you.
Well, listen. Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Now he's got a servant's cup, and he's got a servant's call, and he's fixing to meet a saving Christ. Are you hearing me? For every one of you tonight that refuses to testify or to shout, you're failing your job. And somebody, no doubt, failed God right here tonight. And I feel sorry for you in the next few days. And God will whip you. If you're His young'un, He'll whip you. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort. Rise, he calleth thee. Do you know what it means in this world for God to call you? I'm talking about the God that made the stars and the moon, that stopped where you are and called you to Him. You know what that means? There'll be thousands of Chinese die tonight that have never known anything about Jesus Christ. There'll be Russians and Italians and Catholics tonight that'll die, know nothing about Jesus Christ's saving power. And here He is dealing with you. Saved and unsaved.
Bless you, Lord.
God spoke to me 3 or 4 times in an audible voice that I could hear. And He's still alive. And He lets His young'uns know what they ought to do. Are you in talking shape? Are you close enough to hear? Is everything else so occupied your life that you can't hear God Almighty talk? I get up just about every morning. Sometimes I'm so tired I can't. And to pray and read the Bible. Sometimes don't turn the lights on after I read the Bible or before I sit down to read the Bible. Turn them off and sit there in my bedroom and just invite Him in to give direction to my heart for the day. You know, you don't know what you need to do unless God will speak to you.
Tonight.
Now I'm going to tell you tonight, right here, somebody is depending on you. I don't know whether you'll let this revival go, just mess around and fail to follow God. I'm talking about saved people. And fail to do your part, your responsibility, and pass by the opportunity for some lost person to know that you enjoy being born again. I wouldn't do it.
No more.
I had a lady in my church named Goldie, Miss Goldie. That is her name, and that's what she was. They'd help her up the steps at Union Chapel Church and opened the door for her, and as soon as she stepped up in the church house, she'd shout and then laugh and say, I'm glad to be here. Wouldn't that shock us all?
Yeah.
There's somebody to come in singing as loud as you can sing, Jesus loves me. This I know.
Yeah.
For the Bible
bless the Lord.
I'm glad tonight that I know Him. That He stops every once in a while in His busy schedule and said, Hanny, I ain't forgot you. I'm still in business, me and you together, to carry the message of God hither and yon. And the older I get, the more I realize Brother Larry, he shared. So,
I wish you knew him tonight. He's a real traveling companion. There's a lady in our church, and you folks that know God intimately know what I'm talking about. I don't know, she's 40, I guess, maybe a little more. Got a good singing voice, her husband's song leader. And they told her there's something bad wrong with her liver. Autoimmune system about her liver. Or else cancer. And her color changed. Just seemed like overnight. And she come to me and said, "Preacher, I want you to pray." And y'all prayed here, I think, for her. And I prayed. She kind of almost like a daughter to me. She's got that old time ring to her voice when she testifies. She's one of them Philadelphian Christians, you know. And you know I was praying and I prayed. And I wouldn't eat a sandwich without praying for her first. And I told her, I went to her one morning and I said, "I touched heaven for you last night." Now that, you know what I'm talking about, if you're a prayer warrior. There's lots of times you pray that you don't touch heaven.
Right.
And she cried. Told her doctor, said, "I think I'm going to be all right. My preacher touched heaven for me. And he's dumbfounded. He don't know what's going on." But you know what God told me? He said the results of this thing's already fixed. You say, "What's that mean?" I don't know. But he's telling me that prayer is not going to change anything, the end result. I never did have that happen before. But I know what he's talking about. Y'all understand me tonight?
Amen.
And I won't tell you that this God that made the sun and moon and stars and saved you is interested in you personally.
Yes.
And personally, you ought to be interested in him.
Yeah, yes, man.
And he ought to be utmost. You know, he ought to even come before ball games. Did y'all know that?
Sure.
And he comes before your job or your children.
Come on.
Oh, he's altogether lovely. He's never left me nor forsaken me. When I was walking in Korean hills trying to get as mean as I could so he'd give up on me and quit pulling on me to preach the gospel, he didn't give up on me. Here I am.
Bless the Lord.
He's going to do something for this blind man. He wants to do something for you. If you get down by the highway side of begging and tell him how blind you are, if you've got so much education you think maybe you don't need him, you don't have. Oh, listen to me tonight. He's wondering when you're going to drop everything else and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." I'll tell you what, in a few minutes, I'll give an invitation. And if you're saved, I don't care if you belong to a church in Califrisco. You ought to get in this altar and say, "Lord, are you wanting to talk to me?"
Oh, God, God bless
you. If you're not a coward,
bless you, Lord.
Say, "What do you want me to do, Lord? Are you satisfied with me?" And and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man. What do you think's going on here? Jesus knew he was blind before he started out on his trip. And he's depending on somebody else to bring the blind men to him. He could have walked across the ditch or went up on the sidewalk, whatever it was. He said, y'all bring him. Bring him to me. You brought anybody to him?
Yes, and Lord.
He said to you anywhere, bring them to me.
Bless you.
Joyce. Them young children running around. And him, you don't know what to do with them, and you're taking them to ball games and all that kind of school stuff, and I know something's got to be done. But the Lord's picking somewhere and say, bring them to me.
Amen.
Bring them to me. Bring them to me. And you know what he done? I believe he realized that his condition's going to get fixed. I really do. And they said to him, be of good comfort. Quit your worrying now. Wonder how they knew. Rise, he calleth thee. Young lady, he's calling you tonight. I'm not in much preaching shape physically. But God's touching me tonight for your heart. And I felt it going out. And I know he's dealing with hearts right here tonight. And pulling on you. You may be saved and holding back on what he wants you to do. He wants you to get in the shape where you could bring somebody to him.
Amen.
If you're here and lost, ma'am, sir, you ought to get in this altar tonight. There's not much preaching left in this world.
Right.
Old time preaching's about over with.
Yes, amen.
And he, casting away his garment. What do you reckon he done that for? It wasn't meant anything to God if he'd had five coats on, but it meant something to him to get rid of something he'd have been holding on to.
That's his name.
He said, goodbye, old life. I'm a going to Jesus. Won't need that coat no more. I guess there's probably lice and dirt in it. Is in your life, you ought to throw it away and come to him.
Yeah.
Bless him, Lord.
And Jesus answered and said unto him, he's asking a question, knowing the answer. What wilt thou that I should do for thee? You think he didn't know? God knows you're lost, but he wants you to tell him about it.
Amen.
I never did know of anybody that got saved and didn't pray. I don't know how many lost people I've seen saved. For years, I carried on 30 some revivals a year and seen a lot of people saved. I don't know, maybe 1,000, I don't know, maybe more, maybe less. Never did see nobody get saved and pray. They didn't say nothing but, God save me, God save me, God have mercy on me.
Yes.
Or they was talking to God personally when they got saved. And you'll have to pray somewhere. Yes. He wants to know what you want him to do for you. If you want to be a success in life, That's all you want. You'll never get saved. Boy, I had big things figured out. I wanted to be a policeman. That just thrilled me all of my young life. I studied fingerprinting, took karate, doing everything I can, carrying a gun, practicing, doing everything I could. Tried to get in as a game warden, wouldn't have me. Wasn't the two of us. I beat him on every test. Wouldn't have me. You know why? He wanted me in Alabama tonight.
Amen. Bless the Lord.
What do you want? You satisfied where you are? Have you reached the peak? Are you at your best and said, that's as good as I want to get? You sorry thing. Has the God in heaven used you? I don't care if you're here and 99 years old tonight. God wants you to come to Him and tell Him what He can do for you. Are you interested at all? Listen now. And Jesus said, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And the blind man said to Him, Lord, Lord, that I might receive my sight. I tell sinners, when you come to an altar, talk to Him and tell Him what you want.
Yes.
You don't need to promise Him if He'll help you, you'll go to church and do this and do that. Tell Him exactly what you want. Amen. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Now I want to get in where you live. How long are you going to put this thing off? How long will it be before you give everything up to God and say, Lord, it's your way from now on? If you want my place of work, if you want my job, I'm not asking you to be a fool and go somewhere and quit your job just to say you've done what God wants you to. If He don't tell you to, stay with what you ought to and take care of your family. But I want to tell you tonight that this thing's about over now.
Yes, indeed.
And if you're ever going to be a shouting old time Christian under God's dominion and direction, you ought to do it now. If you need a healing, I'm talking about down deep in your soul. You want to do better. You want to come and pray and ask God. You ought to get in this altar tonight. Sister, I want you to come and play the piano.
Yes, you will.
I think that's all I want, just piano playing.
Yes, you will.
I want everybody to stand. I want you to be obedient to God. You're interested in finding out what God wants for you. There's some things hidden you need to talk about that's nobody else's business. Did the message tonight get to where you live and you realize there's some weak places in your life that need fixing? You ought to get in an altar tonight and get it done. Are you ashamed for us to see you coming back? Or you say, I'm from another church and I don't want them to see me. Shame on you. You get it right before God. You really want what God's got for you. You won't care who's looking.
Right.
Play, sister, if you will. If God touches you, if you got a desire in your heart, you want to come. Touch me, and oh, joy.
something about it.